Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, recently you may have heard that Nottingham High School here in Syracuse held a dinner to honor its Wall of Fame recipients and to induct new, well-respected and recognized people who are also graduates of Nottingham to its Wall of Fame. And in case you missed it, you might be surprised to learn that our own acting Surgeon General of the United States was among them. Yes, Rear Admiral Stephen K. Galson, MD, MPH, graduate of Nottingham High School, is the acting Surgeon General of the country, returned to Syracuse to receive his honor. We asked if he'd spend some time with us, and he graciously accepted our request. So Dr. Galson joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Dr. Galson.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here.
Welcome to HealthLink On Air. You've returned to your roots for a few days.
Absolutely. It was really fantastic. Fantastic.
Was it great? That's great. And congratulations on your induction into Nottingham's Wall of Fame. Although it seems you're a man of many accomplishments and recognitions. Now, do you still have family in Central New York?
I do. My parents still live there and my aunt and uncle as well.
That's great. So you get back here on occasion.
I try to. I wish I could get back more.
Well, I'm glad you could come in the fall because, of course, it's so pretty in the fall.
It is, and I can't wait for the snow to hopefully. I love to ski.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good to hear. Okay. Well, you know, I realized you're a fairly recent appointee. How long have you been the acting Surgeon General?
Well, great that you're asking that because I just passed last week my one-year anniversary of being acting Surgeon General.
And so far, so good?
So far, it's been great.
Well, you know, what exactly is your job description? In effect, you work for all of us citizens. What is it we hire you to do?
You hire me to be the chief health educator for the United States. I try to bring the best science, the best public health advice to every American so they know what they can do to keep themselves healthier, stronger, and to live longer, more productive lives.
Well, you know, I love that because that's actually the world I live in, is helping people get through healthcare more successfully and doing better for themselves. And prevention is really a great big part of that.
Prevention is a huge part of it. We spend the vast proportion of our healthcare dollars treating preventable diseases in this country. So by focusing more on prevention, we can not only keep people healthier, but we can save trillions of dollars in healthcare costs.
And, you know, trillions, people have trouble fathoming trillions, but that is what it is, isn't
it? That is what it is. We have absolutely huge healthcare expenditures in this country.
Well, I know that one of your, for lack of a better term, pet projects, one of the things you like to concentrate on is childhood obesity. And you've actually put together a remarkable program to address this. So let's talk about it. What do you call your program?
Sure. It's called the Healthy Youth for a Healthy Future Initiative. And in this initiative, I am traveling all around the country. I've been to more than 30 states so far, everywhere from Alaska to Florida to Maine to California. And on these visits, I'm meeting with local and state and healthcare professionals, people in education, people in medical schools, and hearing about very promising local programs to prevent overweight and obesity in our young people. I'm hearing about programs to improve diet, programs to improve the physical environment of our cities and our areas all around the country, and ways to get people up and moving again, because preventing obesity is not that complicated. It's all about diet, physical activity, and making healthy choices once you have the information. So it's been just really invigorating and exciting to be traveling around hearing in each of these places what's going on.
Well, it was interesting to me in spending some time on your website. I could see that you had been to all kinds of elementary schools, so you're really out there talking to the kids.
I am spending a lot of time talking to kids. I've also been talking in medical schools and schools of public health, but preventing overweight and obesity is everyone's challenge in this country. There isn't one segment of the population that's free from responsibility to do their part, and that's one of my major themes.
Well, and it's an important theme, and I actually want to come back to that in a few moments. What I'd like to talk about for a moment is, do we look at the causes of obesity in kids? I think back to when we were kids and we were out the door. You know, when it was a Saturday, we didn't stay around in the house and play. We were out the door as long as the weather would cooperate. And it seems like we got more exercise just because that's how our lives were. We didn't have video games and the things that keep us indoors. Are you looking at the causes of obesity for ways to prevent it?
We certainly are. And one of the key features of this epidemic in the United States is that it has occurred and unrolled under our own eyes. So in the last, since 1980, the prevalence of overweight and obesity has tripled in some age groups, tripled. So that is a lot of overweight and obese children who were not that way before. Like you said, when we were growing up, we were just out running around. And that's been one of the most remarkable things about it, is to see how we've changed over time in the United States. And if we've gotten this way over this period of time, we can roll the clock back if we just take some healthy steps. And physical activity is one of the key features. We've got to get our kids out and moving. In the United States, the average young person spends 6 hours in front of a video screen or a television. That's way too many. That's part of the cause. So instead of after dinner going down and turning on the television set and turning on a football game, go out with your kids, play a ball game, walk around the block. You can do almost anything to get yourself physically active.
Well, you know, that raises a great point, because I look at this as a lot of parent involvement. If you don't get the parents involved, the kids aren't going to follow suit. So what are the kinds of things that you talk to parents about to encourage them to get their kids more active?
What I say to parents is that you are absolutely the most critical role model for your kids. If you're telling them to get out and getting activity and eating well, and you're not doing that yourself, they're not going to do what you say. So it's the role modeling, the setting an example, is so very, very critical.
Including the fact that so many parents put their kids in front of those electronic babysitters, you know, the video games and so forth. They're doing that themselves, and so their kids see them doing that too.
That's right. Although there isn't one single cause, and of course I'm a big supporter of information technology and using that to provide entertainment and games, but that doesn't have to exclude getting out and going skiing or going swimming or just walking around the block. You can have your cake and eat it too in that regard.
Well, and I would agree with that. Now, do you discuss at all some of the emotional reasons kids eat? You know, so many adults even turn to food for reasons other than hunger. I was a teacher many, many years ago, and I know that emotional eating was a huge factor. And the kids would eat and they'd gain weight, and then other kids would make fun of them when they gained weight and they would eat some more. Is that something you address?
Well, that is a factor, that is one dynamic that goes on, of course, as you mentioned, not just with childhood obesity, but with adults as well. But the vast majority of obesity, we think, is average people that are just not eating right and not getting enough exercise. Yes, there are exceptions that people are, their mental health overlays, but that's not the vast majority of people in the United States who are among the ranks of the newly overweight.
Ah, okay. All right. You know, we've talked about the newly overweight before and childhood obesity in terms of seeing children who are developing type 2 diabetes in huge numbers, and that never used to happen at all.
Absolutely. We know that overweight young people result in grow up to be overweight adults, and we're seeing an increased prevalence both in adults and children of serious conditions that we didn't used to see, such as diabetes. And we know the consequences of diabetes can be very, very serious. Heart disease, kidney disease, also linked to overweight and obesity, musculoskeletal joint and bone and joint problems. Depression is also linked to overweight and obesity. So exercise is very, very important, and eating well.
You know, and then that takes me back to this point that you were making earlier. I know we have listeners that don't have children or grandchildren, and it's still important that they be thinking about this problem, the obesity in children. Now, when you start talking about diabetes and liver problems and so forth, these are things that become public health questions because we're still paying for the care. Speak to some of the reasons why these folks need to be paying attention to children who are obese.
Absolutely. This is a societal problem. This is a problem that can challenge the future economic productivity of the United States. People who are healthy, people who are active, are going to be more productive members of society. For children, there are some good studies to show that children of the proper weight are doing better in school.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that eat well and get good levels of physical activity are going to be more challenged and performing better in the classroom. And so that course, translates out to doing better in college, getting a good job, and then, of course, adding up millions of young people all around the country. This is about our economic productivity as a country and our competitiveness worldwide, not to speak of the huge medical costs that, of course, we're adding to the bill as we continue this trend towards increasing overweight.
Well, you know, you have made an incredibly compelling reason for all of us to be paying attention to this. And I guess I would challenge everybody who's listening this morning to get a kid to walk, even if you go take them by the hand and walk them themselves and get them outdoors and really get some of that physical activity. And I thank you so much for joining us this morning to fill us in on your project. I hope you'll come back and tell us when you've been successful.
I hope to. Thank you.
Very good. Rear Admiral Stephen K. Galson, Surgeon General, Acting Surgeon General of the United States of America, I thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.